Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick, Vatican Radio. Coinciding with the 2012 Olympic Games, the bishops of Britain are calling on Catholics to take care of their bodies and live a healthier, more balanced and environmentally sensitive lifestyle. The theme chosen for the Church's annual Day for Life, which falls this year on Sunday 29th of July, reflects this idea. It's taken from St. Paul and it's "Use your body for the glory of God." A few days ahead of this annual Day for Life, I invited journalist and author Joanna Bogle to come by our Vatican Radio studios and tell me a little bit about the involvement of the Association of Catholic Women, which she belongs to, regarding this special day. I provided her with an opportunity to draw attention to some of the issues her association strongly opposes, such as abortion and euthanasia. More broadly, Joanna then points to some of the other areas of interest this Association of Women promotes, such as creative catechetical education for children in primary schools. Stay tuned.
We were founded about 20-something years ago to, as our little constitution puts it, we give our glad assent to the teaching of the Church. The catalyst for our association was we were concerned that there was this idea that women in general, Catholic women in particular, opposed the Catholic Church, and in particular in teachings relating to marriage and family life and the protection of unborn life, and also that Catholic women wanted women priests and so on. We said, no, this is not the case. We gladly affirm the teachings of the Church. We're joyful about it, and we think it's absolutely what our poor country and civilization needs. And the association has grown and grown and flourished, and we're very excited about our work. And I came here to Rome, well, for various things, but also to have a good chat with some people in the Pontifical Council for the Laity. Lots of good ideas coming out, Mulieris Dignitatem conferences.
Joanna, Mulieris Dignitatem, not everyone knows, is an apostolic letter written by Blessed John Paul II on the dignity and vocation of women.
Yes, well, they had a couple of conferences exploring it, and a couple of our members, including our chairman, went. This is some years ago. So we'd like to follow that up. And I wondered what other conferences and so on are being planned, and we discussed that. We in Britain, the association, are particularly keen, obviously, to defend human life, and that's something the Church does so gloriously. With this Day for Life, which will be recognised in all the Catholic churches across Britain this Sunday, we are very keen to have bidding prayers at Mass, the prayers of the faithful at Mass, that speak about the protection of human life from conception to natural death. Not only do we abort our babies in Britain, meaning we're killing our future, it's just tragic. No babies, no future. But we also have killing in hospitals, euthanasia by stealth, essentially by the most ghastly method of denying fluids, denying water to people who are deemed to be dying. But since you don't know how people are dying, I mean, it's always speculative. Even doctors can't say, will it be a week or 2 weeks? It's terribly cruel to deny them water. So we'll be praying about that. And euthanasia is scary because there's no question about deliberate killing. It's wrong, it's wrong, it's wrong. And it is happening in our hospitals, and it is not necessary. We have wonderful means of pain relief. Food and fluid are not medical care. They are basic attention. And we're a very prosperous society. We can afford for people to die at the pace that nature intends. We don't need to hurry it.
At this point, Joanna, why don't you tell me a little bit more about this association?
Oh, well, we're not a huge organisation, and because of the modern era with the internet and so on, we don't have a subscription that you pay for and a little newsletter and a renewal. So we simply say, lock onto us and, get onto our internet access, email and so on. We do ask that people say the Angelus every day, and we have several hundred people who are absolutely committed to that. We also have whole parishes and groups of women who join, and they put one name on our email list, that they get the information. So I'm honestly not sure, but it'd be a few thousand. It's not huge. And we, in a nation of over 50 million, we certainly would be small.
Are you in contact with other Catholic associations of women?
Very, very much so. In fact, some of our members would be members of ACW, but also of other groups.
What ACW being?
Association of Catholic Women. But a lot of us would also be members of the Union of Catholic Mothers, with a, that's explanatory what it is. It's for mums, and that's parish-based. So several of our members would also be members of that, or possibly of the Catholic Women's League, which again is a parish-based group that does wonderful things in parishes. They would organise all the social activities and so on, have monthly meetings. So we are a national group. We run national events, conferences, Days of Recollection, and this big, big project for schools that I would like to talk a little bit about. But no, we tend to overlap. A lot of people would join something in their local parish as well as us. That would be pretty standard, yes.
And what about an international level?
Yes, it's one of the reasons I came to Rome. Yes, we do link up, particularly, obviously, with groups in the English-speaking world. We have a particularly close association with Women for Faith and Family in America. But we exchange emails and newsletters and so on with a number of Catholic women's organisations. We want a dialogue about current issues. We are interested in the intelligent woman who wants to ask questions about her faith. We don't see ourselves as a sentimental thing, or we're just saying, oh, we're just happy to be Catholic. You know, we want the debate. So we're active with groups such as the Merivale Institute. I'm studying there at the moment. We're interested in, let's say, the exercise of the mind. We're very interested in the intellectual aspects of Catholicism. So we tend to link up with groups, well, for men and women that are interested in that.
Are you involved in education at all?
Yes, we have got very much involved with education in Catholic schools. We felt, particularly as Catholic women, women are the primary educators, really, in the primary sector. That's age 5 to 11. Most teachers in Catholic and non-Catholic schools in that sector are women. Actually, it would be good to have more men, but it's a fact a lot of them are women, teaching the smallest children. We're involved with a big project for Catholic primary schools. It's got bigger every year. It's now huge. Every Catholic primary school in Britain is mailed. We work very closely with the Catholic Truth Society, which sponsors the project. They're absolutely wonderful. And they pay for us to mail every Catholic primary school. And we invite the children to take part in the project. Essentially, it's an essay project. This year, the theme was Our Lord's Miracles. We gave them a choice of three or four to look at. They must choose one and write about it in a very vivid way. Of course, they illustrate it. You get the most wonderful spelling and some marvellous descriptions. One of the stories they must explore, and we're looking for a real understanding of it. We want the teacher to read the story, teach it, explain it. One of them was the healing of the centurion's servant, and we wanted the children to understand that we use that beautiful prayer, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Well, you got the most wonderful spelling of centurion and miracle and all of that. But beautiful illustrations, and children did understand the link with our Lord coming under our roof at Holy Communion. And we give a cash prize for the winning school and prize for the children. There's a shield for the smaller children, a cup for the bigger ones, and lots and lots and lots of runner-up prizes. They get beautiful little Catholic books, a children's missal, prayer book, a catechism, the compendium of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, a very nice little hardback book, very beautifully illustrated. And children love that. And this year, nice little books also about John Paul and so on. And then we go to schools and present these prizes. I would say there's been a certain problem in catechetics in the last 30 to 40 years. You know, schools were not certain what to teach. This is absolutely changing. You can see the influence of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, and there's a certain renewal of confidence in teaching the faith. And we want to support that. We really want to explain the faith. And many young parents are uncertain how to pass on the faith. Catholic schools have a very important job to do.
That's a very crucial point, the parents' role, isn't it?
It's crucial. Parents are the first educators. And you have to teach with love. You teach the faith by saying little prayers for the children at night. And it's a beautiful thing to teach them the Our Father, Hail Mary, Glory Be, and pray in your own words, you know, for granny who's not well, for peace in the world, for boys and girls who are hungry. And anyone can do this, but they need to have a certain confidence in doing that. And then Sunday Mass, and they should be warmly welcomed at Sunday Mass. The Catholic school can be crucial. It often ends up educating the parents. That often we've found that parents come into even something simple like one of our prize givings and they say, I didn't know this, I didn't understand this. And a lot of children at our Catholic primary schools and secondary schools, they don't go to Mass every Sunday. It's not been explained they should. But the school can give children a real excitement in this. They can teach them the beauty of the liturgy. They can teach them the beauty of Christ being truly present there among us in the tabernacle on the altar at Mass. And we would like to help this. And distributing good books, good children's missals, teaching, and also teaching the parents. I've given talks to children at First Communion classes where the parents sit there. I would honestly say open mouths. I mean, sometimes literally they're just fascinated. And they say, I wish I'd been taught this. I didn't know this. And these are young parents.
You were listening there to Catholic journalist and author Joanna Bogle. My thanks go to her. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.